The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who has said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So today's gospel reading and sermon are both aimed at skeptics. Exactly. That was like ba-dum-bum. Skeptics, questioners, doubters, listen up. This is for you. But she, Mary, was much perplexed by the angel's words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. You see, Mary, the one who's become the poster child for the church, for trust, known as the trusting one, her story begins with skepticism and questions. So, skeptics, questioners, you're in good company. And in all reality, isn't it true that all of us, to some degree, are skeptics and questioners and doubters? As we confess that all believers are at the same time unbeliever. And I wonder if Christmas and also Easter are particular times that we'd rather not admit that we do disbelieve or distrust. But Mary is in front of us, thanks to Luke, this last Sunday in Advent, perplexed, wondering, asking questions, giving our doubts and questions permission to rise to the surface. "How can this be?" Mary asks, giving rise to that little voice in us. "How can God let so much evil go on in the world? How can God really be born as a human, or Jesus really be resurrected? How can my faith be so small that I really don't think I've had any for years?" All questions gather together into Mary's words. How can this be? So what's one supposed to do with so many doubts and questions and skepticism? We can look to Mary. But we back up a bit first. The angel greets her as God's favored one. Not necessarily because she's somehow earned it, but because God has chosen her to be favored. The angel greets her and offers a blessing. "The Lord is," or "the Lord be with you," and relays the message from God that she'll bear the Messiah. And Mary questions and ponders. The angel then speaks God's promise to Mary about the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. And then comes the word of grace, the gospel, the good news. For nothing is impossible with God. And in those words, the Holy Spirit does indeed overshadow her, transform her. And the next words out of her mouth in the next question, how, is not skepticism, but is affirmation. Let it be. Okay, let it be. Bernard of Clairvaux of the 11th century claimed that there were three miracles in the nativity of Jesus. First, that God and humanity should be joined in this child. Kind of a big miracle. Second, that a mother should remain a virgin, the one that everybody gets hung up on. And third, that Mary believed. And Martin Luther thought that the greatest miracle of all of these three was that Mary believed. And that we believe at all is also a miracle, I think. Any belief or trust in God that we've ever had is the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, being sinful, after all, means at heart that we distrust God, that we want control. We don't want anybody else to tell us what to do, especially somebody out of our control, like God. We want to be the center. So, what is one supposed to do with doubts? Bring them to church, into the presence of God's angels, messengers. That's what the word really means in Greek. Here in Moorestown, or if you're visiting wherever you are, and go. Bring them to the gathering of the saints, where nothing is impossible with God, where you will be greeted and blessed by another messenger sent by God, me. Although my husband Tim will tell you that I'm really no angel. And my sister's here this morning too, and she can tell you that. But isn't that how I greet the assembly of saints every Sunday with these same words? The Lord be with you. Wow, that's great. Bring all of your doubts, all of your questions, all of your failures. Bring everything here to the assembly of believers where you are promised that all of your sins are forgiven, where you are told that you, not just Mary, not just devout Christians, that you are favored by the creator of the cosmos. My body broken for you, my blood shed for you. Where the Holy Spirit works where and when it chooses to do so through the gospel to work faith in hearts, to work trust and belief, the biggest miracle of all. And even if all of your questions, if all of our questions, aren't answered in a way that we can hear or recognize the answer, we're pointed again and again to the one who knows what it means to have questions himself. On the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, in the end, that's what we do with any doubts, because we all have them. Not deny them, not neglect them, simply place them in the hands of the one who can bear the weight of all of our doubts together. He really can take it. We know he can, even from his birth, because the one who bore him, Mary, also had doubts alongside her faith. Amen.